hear me? Nope. Testing, one, two. Okay, there we go. Okay, I want to thank everyone for coming to the talk here. I'm going to be talking about the CMake build system. Build systems are sort of an inherently boring topic, so hopefully I won't put everyone to sleep. As my friend Alex pointed out, when you do something, exciting with, you know, some GUI thing, you have something to show. You do something good with a build system, and everything works like it should, and nobody's mad at you. So the talk, first I'm going to do a quick introduction about myself and the company I come from, Kitware. Many of you may not know about me or my company. And then the rest of the talk is going to be about CMake and just sort of a running tutorial of how you would build something with CMake. And then I'll also be talking about testing with CTest and CDash, which are components of CMake, and the packaging system that's built into the CMake tool. So, introductions. I've been sort of around the C++ world since about 1990. I started at GE's Global Research Center, and I worked in a computer vision group there for about 10 years and worked on large C++ environments. They were open source. I've been working with open source for a long time, not big name projects, but big research projects. I work a lot in the research community. Computer vision, visualization. In 1999, I left with some other folks from GE, and we started a company. And it's an open source company. It was based around a package called VTK, which I've got a slide on later. We've got about 40 employees now in two locations. I mean, if anybody wants to move to Clifton Park, New York, and you're really good at C++ or like graphics and visualization, talk to me afterwards. Or chat. Okay. we support many open source projects, and we do medical imaging, supercomputing, and computer vision. So this is my exciting slide, since build systems are pretty boring. This is stuff from the visualization toolkit. It's a C++ library with about, I don't know, 500,000 lines of code. It's used for medical imaging, supercomputing, general visualization. There's an open source application called ParaView that we also produce that's Qt-based now, and it's also on top of VTK. And of course, all these tools are built with CMake. And this project is actually pretty important to CMake historically. This is the Insight Toolkit, which is was funded by the National Library of Medicine to work with the visible human data, where they took a person and they, after they died, they scanned them with CT, MR, and any modality they could think of. Then they froze them and sliced them into little pieces and took pictures of each one. And that way you'd add ground truth to the scanner data versus the actual pictures you took of the inside of the person. And we were one of the lead engineering firms on this effort. There were a lot of universities and groups that worked on this. And we were tasked with the build system. And that's where CMake got its start. And the talk here, I'm going to start off sort of why you would use CMake, cover some of the features, and then I'll talk about how you would use it and give some examples and how you create CMake input files. If you want to get help, there's a book. We've got a web page, of course, a wiki, and a very active mailing list. So what is CMake? It's a BSD licensed open source package. It's written in C++. It's a family of tools to build, test, and package software. Mostly, the build stuff is the number one priority, but it's a complete system. And it was developed for ITK, like I said. It started around 2000. And one of the it's a meta build tool, so it doesn't actually do the final build of the software. It generates, for for other build systems. So you could generate make files, KDevelop, Eclipse, Visual Studio, all the different versions. And the idea is that the developers, we want them to use the tools that they're most productive with. And so at Kitware, we've got 40 employees, and there's people, half of them running Linux, some of them running Mac OS X, some of them are Windows programmers. They run Visual Studio. That's what they do best at. And CMake gives them the freedom to work on the same code base and easily move in between projects. And sort of as a joke, I threw in, you could do a sconce generator, I guess. again, whatever the native build system that someone's used to, you could conceivably generate it with CMake. So who's using it? Probably a lot more people on this list. It's an open source project. It's always hard to tell who's using your stuff. You can look at download statistics, but it's really hard to tell who's using it. But probably the main reason I'm here is that KDE is using it. That's how I got invited here, most likely. Recently, Second Life, the big online game thing, is switching over to it. Of course, all the internal Kitware projects are using it. Scribus, and there's many more. This next part, who's behind CMake? To me, I think this is important for knowing what you're getting into with an open source project. Kitware is, of course, behind it. We've been around for almost a decade now. We're not going away. We've got various patrons of our consulting services in the government and private sector that enjoy these tools and want to see them grow. So the National Library of Medicine continues to actually fund development. The national labs are heavily involved in growing their tools, and they're using CMake in our system. NAMIC, which is a group for biomedical research, they're using CMake and funding its development. So some features. It supports complex custom commands, and this really sort of goes back to VTK's roots. VTK, as a toolkit, is natively written in C++, but has automatic code wrappers to Java, Python, and Tickle. And the way that works, that's something that parses the header file, and that parser and code generator is part of the code base for VTK. So whatever build tool we created had to be able to take some source code, compile it into an executable, then run that executable during the build and generate code that then gets compiled in the build, much like Qt's mock. And that's one of the reasons we're able to do that, is we sort of had that historical need. It has optional component support. You can put an if statement and say, if this extra feature of my system, turn it on, turn it off, enable, enable use GUI or enable command line only. You can add abilities for optional components. It supports shared libraries and DLLs, building them with complete version support for the shared libraries. And all of this is in as simple an input file as we could think of. So the simple input format for all platforms. We do automatic dependency generation for C++, C, Fortran. There's any Fortran programmers out there. Actually, our high-performance computing folks are very interested in this. We've recently added full support for Fortran dependency analysis. So it can do the Fortran 95 module stuff and figure out the requires and depends and who needs what. So if you build a target in some directory, everything that target depends on will get built. So unlike some of the systems, this is one of the things that can annoy people a little bit. It's like, well, CMake is doing too much. I just want to build this one thing. But I think it's more important that you build the software correctly than to spend, days tracking down some weird bug because a header file was out of date and something didn't compile. It supports parallel builds if your build tool supports it, so GMake minus J3, something like that. Out-of-source builds is the default. It supports, all the operating systems. We test on these operating systems nightly. whole bunch more features. I'm going to sort of zip through these. Color and progress output for make. CMake will automatically rerun itself if any of its input files have changed when you run your build system. That works in both, you know, in the IDEs and in from the make command line. It has a graphviz output for visualizing dependencies between libraries. Like I said, it works with a parallel make, and it's very fast. When we were initially doing some timings with the KDE, I think they had a build farm that could build KDE libs in like 5 minutes, I think, with the VTK, with the CMake build, which was pretty impressive. It was faster than the old AutoTools build by quite a bit. I think that was like 15 minutes or something. It was, I think part of the reason is we're not using libtool. All the, so essentially it's the standard configure, make, and then make install path. And when we do the configure thing, we're sort of caching a lot of information and putting them into the make files so that things can build fast. It's got an extensive test suite that we run every night, so we try to keep up the compatibility and quality of the system. It comes with some GUIs for easily editing the input. It's got command line support. We can support Mac OS X creating the frameworks and libraries automatically, just as you would a library on another system. And recently we've added cross-compiling support. So where do you get it? You can get it from cmake.org on the download page. Many Linux distributions and Cygwin include CMake packages. You can install it directly from the binaries off our page. 2.4.8 is the latest release. We're working really hard for 2.6. Linux binaries, we have a Linux binaries that should work on any Linux system. We keep a really old Linux system around and build it on that, so it's backwards compatible. And the Mac, of course. So this is the overall CMake process. When it runs configure, it will read the cache file if there's one already there. And this file stores whatever variables that you've told CMake that you want it to store past the run of itself. And then it reads the CMake input files, and then it will write the cache back out. And then it can iterate on this. So picture you're in a GUI and you say, you know, I want to enable the QT option of this project. And then that may say, you know, well, do you want the OpenGL? And you can sort of go around and around a little bit with this configuration until it until no new options show up. And then it goes into the generate step, which reads the cache, reads the CMake list files again, and writes the cache back up, and writes the make files or projects. We've got a couple GUIs. This is the Windows cache editor. When you first time you run it, boy, that looks really blurry. Anyways, that's a box that comes up, and those are all different generators you can pick. So there's various versions of Visual Studio, MinGW, MSys, Cygwin, all that, all those you can pick the first time you're doing a project, and it stores that information in the cache. This lower picture is a picture of CCMake, which is a curses-based editor, which is sort of the lowest common denominator for Unix systems, but it's actually a pretty nice tool, so you can, you know, remote log into something. You don't need X Windows to be able to configure a system. And of course, you can run it from the command line as well. It's not completely recommended for larger projects, although you could do it. If you have any of those sort of iterative cases, you might not want to do it from the command line, but you could as well. I've got them commented out, but you could set the standard auto tools, CC, CXX, C flags, CXX flags. So you'd CD into my project source directory, make a build directory. We're big on out-of-source builds. That works pretty much by default when you write a CMake list file. There's not much work to be done there, and we certainly encourage using them. You can do an in-source build if you want, so if you just want to type, you know, cmake.make, that'll work. But it's much better to build an out-of-source one. You can pass command line. You can pass on the command line variables that get set. The input to CMake is one or more CMake list files, and those will load each other by, you can say add subdirectory, which will look for a CMake list file.txt in that subdirectory. We got a subdirs. You might see that if you're looking at an old project. It's a deprecated version of add subdirectory. You can also use include to pull in a CMake file. You can edit it. We've got sort of the standard editors, Emacs, Vim, Eclipse. There's some others. It's fairly straightforward syntax, so it's easy to write a syntax highlighter for it. So here's a very simple project. It's right out of the tutorial, which is found in the Mastering CMake book and is also in our test tree. We want to make sure our tutorial continues to work on all the platforms. And basically, up at the top, it says project tutorial, and then add executable tutorial, tutorial.cxx, and it's got a little C program here that prints the square root of a number. Up in the project command, you can, by default, it enables C and C++. If there was Fortran or another language, you would specify it in the project command, or if you wanted to limit it just to C, you could say project tutorial C, and then CMake wouldn't actually try the compiler. When CMake runs, it actually, much like AutoComp, will do a try compile with the compiler to make sure it actually works and is able to compile a small program. And by default, it'll do that for C and C++. The basic syntax of CMake is a command name and then space-separated arguments. The command can be in uppercase or lowercase. Variables are set with the set command, and we use semicolon-separated lists is how you break things apart, and there's a list and for each command to iterate over them. I'll get to it on a later slide. There's also flow control. You can do if. You can do for each and while. Sort of basic programming concepts, but not a full programming language. In that the idea was that the hard stuff would be done in the native C++, and that there wouldn't be any exercises left to the reader. If you want to create a shared library, you know, you say add library. It's very declarative in that sense. And this stuff is more, you know, collecting up source files and maybe some simple processing. We've also got the ability to have macros, which work sort of like C macros. It replaces the formal parameters. You can get at the number of arguments passed in, sort of an argv, argc type arrangement. Some common commands. The project command, which I sort of already covered, has the project name and language. The set command, add library, adds a library name, and then gives a list of sources. That can be a variable or just a list given right there. Add executable gives you an executable name plus the sources. Then target link libraries will link libraries together. CMake will chain this. So if you have a library that links to A, B, and C, and then D links to that library, it'll automatically pull in A, B, and C for you. Add subdirectory is a common command. All the commands are documented inside the code, so you can always say CMake --- help command list, or --- help command and give a specific name, and it'll dump out that documentation. That documentation is dumped out online and on the cmake.org webpage. The variable scoping, everything's inherited from the parent directory. So if you, in a top directory, you say set var equal to 1. You do add subdirectory dir 1. In directory 1 CMake list file, var would be set to 1. It doesn't go back up. So if you set something in, whatever happens in subdirectories stays in subdirectories. the CMake cache. This file is generated for you by CMake, and it stores the optional choices and provides a project global variable repository. It's a set of entities that have key type equals value. The types are really only used, they're not used in the language, it's a string-based language, but they're used by the cache editors, so they know they can do, you know, a checkbox for a Boolean, or a string edit box for a string, or pop up a file chooser for a path or a file path. The internal and static ones won't show up in the editors, but you can use them to set things that will stay persistent from one CMake run to the next. So variables in the cache, they're stored, the CMake cache.txt is stored in the top directory of the build tree. It's generated for you. Variables, so the option command automatically creates a variable that would get stored in the cache, and you can give it a default value. You could also do it with the set command, and you can give the type. The option command defaults to a Boolean type. Caching and scope, if you set a variable, it's going to create a variable in the current scope, and that will override any value in the cache. So just building a library. So there's sort of a magic global variable it's documented, but build shared libraries, you can turn on or off. So the first add library there that doesn't specify whether it's shared or static, if you turn that global variable, build shared libs, on or off, it will change the whole project. But if you know the library has to be specifically a static library, a shared library, or a loadable module, you would specify it directly in the add library command. The shared is going to work on Unix where they're supported. DLLs, if you've done any Windows programming, you know that's probably going to require either some code changes, some decorating your code with that decal spec awful stuff, or .def files to export the symbols correctly. Library versioning on Unix, you can set the target properties. So foo would be, you'd say add library foo, and then you'd have a line below that that said set target properties. Foo properties version 1.2, SO version 4, and that would result in something that looked like that. So it's sort of your standard Unix library versioning, and it's supported, used by KDE. KDE was a really good project for us. It really got us to do a lot of stuff that we needed to do to be sort of a real player in the build community. It's always been sort of a very pragmatic tool. It worked from day one. I mean, back in 2000, the first version of CMake was able to build ITK on all the platforms we supported. It wasn't the prettiest thing, but it worked, and it's gotten a lot better, and it still works. So configured header files. It's much better, I think, to put your build parameters into a configured header file than to use like minus D options on the command line. What that allows is for, say someone's not using CMake or they want to use your library, they shouldn't have to duplicate your command line. They should just be able to give a minus I that gives some file that's included that's got all your options. It's really easy to do in CMake. You say there's a command called configure file. You give an input file and an output file. You'd want your output file to go into your project's binary directory. The input file would be in your source directory. That project underscore is variables created for you by CMake, and they match the project name that you gave to the project command. Inside the .h file, you could use this pound CMake define variable, and if the variable is set, you'll get a pound define. If it's not set, then it would be replaced with nothing. You can also easily do strings. So if you wanted to put version stuff or something into a .h file, it supports, you know, pound CMake define var, double quote, dollar curly brace variable, or the at variable at syntax, much like an autoconf header file. So moving back to that tutorial, This is adding a version into the configured header file. So in, up top would be the configure file.in. I do pound define tutorial version at tutorial version major and minor. And then inside my project, I would set the version here, and then just call configure file and create a .h file. And then include that in my C or C++ file. And that would, again, all the dependencies work with that if you have a configured file. And if you change the, you know, any of these, the configure.in, it'll automatically rerun CMake and make sure the right stuff happens. CMake also comes with a bunch of built-in modules. And you can just do, and these are on the CMake modules directory. And you can use them by calling just include name of module, or there's a find package command. So that those two would basically do the same thing. We're moving more towards the find package. We have a way of generating a package in CMake. As more and more projects are built with CMake, you could conceivably create these package files. The latest versions of CMake are very good at finding these package files wherever you've installed your project. You can see the modules that are in CMake by saying CMake minus minus help module list. You can also get help for a specific module. And again, they're all online in the documentation. CMake supports build configurations. There's a little bit of a, since we are using native tools, sometimes that shows through a little bit in that it's not completely transparent. And so on Visual Studio and Xcode, the native environment and what the users expect is to have configuration directories, debug, release, min-size release, release with debug information. And these are actually subdirectories that Visual Studio or Xcode would create, and your binaries would go in there. With the make files, you would just do an out-of-source build for each type of build you wanted and have a separate build tree. Right, currently, we don't support having multiple configurations in the in a makefile build, but you can do multiple out-of-source builds without a problem. And the CMake build type is read by the makefile builds, and if you're using an IDE that has configurations, then CMake configuration types will be set and have a list of the active configurations. Yeah, this is serving. So CMake int dir is the active config directory. CMake config int dir will be either dot, so you can still write it in your makefile, so you can access an executable or run it or find a library. Or in Visual Studio, that's going to expand out to this dollar parenthesis outdir or dollar configuration in Xcode. We also support system introspection in several ways. We've got these find commands. You can find path, a program, a package, or a file. And you can give a list of names for, you know, if I wanted to find a lot of times a package or an executable comes under a variety of names. And you might want to say, you know, find, I don't know, QMake, and then say, you know, QMake dash some version or something else in the names path. You can also tell it where to look, give it some ideas. CMake has a list for each platform. It's got a platform file that tells it where things usually are. But you can tell it to ignore that if you want to explicitly find something. And you can also use Windows registries keys as part of the path. Big slide. Try run and try compile are in CMake, and they're used for, you know, running a executable or trying a little bit of code to see if the compiler supports some feature. And there's a bunch of built-in macros, essentially. So you can check for include files, check if a C source file compiles, check if a C source runs, check if a library exists on a platform. I won't bother going through the list. Anyways, there's a lot of support for system introspection. And the moving on to the custom commands, These allow you to run arbitrary commands either before, during, or after a target is built. They can be used to generate new files, to move generated or compiled files after they've been built. And again, this is how you do something if you had code generation inside your project. So here's an entry from the CMake FAQ. How do I generate an executable that's then use the executable to generate a file? So I'd have some executable do it. I'd give the list of sources. I'd get the target property. I'd get the location of do it. Stick that in do it exe variable. I'd add a custom command that had an output of some output. The command that I'm going to run is do it exe. And the input to that command would be some input and some output. And it would depend on the do it executable. So that would make sure that whenever do it was rebuilt, the whole thing would happen at the right time. You can also do CMake scripts. There's a CMake minus E command. And this is for, because if you're writing something cross-platform, say you want to copy a file or something like that, we've built in sort of some low-level tools into CMake for copying, removing a file, compare and conditionally copy, getting the time of a file. You can also run CMake minus P. You can run a scripting. It's a cross-platform scripting utility. Doesn't generate a cache. And ignores commands specific to the build environment. So here's the another step out of the tutorial. This is adding system introspection checks. So it does a check function exists for a log and exp. And then inside the tutorial config.h, we CMake define have log, have exp. And then inside the code, we would just check and then have some conditional code inside there that depends on whether that particular functionality was found on that OS. Okay, so here's some CMake misconceptions. I sure threw this slide in. We get a lot of complaints that, you know, CMake's ugly. It's the eye of the beholder. Originally, CMake, everything, all the commands had to be uppercase. It sort of got the nickname of Scream Make from some of our users. So we've changed that. We've listened. We've got some macros now and functions to help modularize the code. It's still a simple language so that the hard stuff can be done by the build tool. And one of the original concepts was that we'd only depend on the C++ compiler and its native build tool. I remember I was presenting CMake for the first time at one of our ITK meetings, one of the really early meetings, and one of the guys would start asking me a lot of questions like, you know, well, why are we doing a new build system? Can't we use auto tools? Why don't we use this? You know, and at the time, there really weren't any other build tools around. And he sort of looked at me and he said, wait a minute. You're not talking about changing the way ITK builds stuff. You're talking about changing the way everybody builds stuff. I'm like, yep, that's what I want to do. I want to make a tool that everyone can use, not just this project. I'm not talking about ITK here, you know. So, okay, we get it. But one of the other things that people have complained about is that it has to be installed by the user. People are really used to the autoconf model of you generate a configure script and you ship that configure script with the project and someone types, you know, configure and run. So, yeah, it has to be there. A configure script actually, you know, is depending on a lot of other stuff as well. A full POSIX environment that may not be available on all operating systems. So it's almost a chicken and the egg problem as well. You know, no one runs around complaining that you know, Make has to be installed in the system. It's just there. Or the compiler, you know, it's just there. You know, no one complains. So, and it's becoming less of an issue now that we're gaining a little more popularity. And with the KDE adoption, it's included in most distributions now, and we provide binaries for all the major platforms. And the reason it needs to be installed, I mean, you'd think with a meta-build system, you know, you could just generate my Visual Studio projects and then send those out. But because we do the system introspection, you really can't do that. It's got to be able to test that particular machine. every Windows box is different. They may have the compiler in different places. They may have different directories. Linux boxes are different, that, you know, so you really need to be able to do the system introspection on the machine, so you're going to need the tool to do it, which is CMake. Another common complaint, I think it's because we sell a book that isn't completely open, but I'd say, you know, 80% of the book actually is. Each command, every variable and module is documented in the code, sort of a literate programming style. So the next thing I wanted to talk about was C-test. And this is a package built into, it comes with CMake. So why test? We have a mantra that we say, if it's not tested, it doesn't work. Tests take time, but there's a cost-benefit trade-off. Originally, when we wrote CMake, we had a dashboard for it. I'll get to what dashboard is in a minute. But our code coverage was somewhere around 40%. And, you know, every time we did something, I broke something. Now our coverage is more about 78%. The quality's greatly improved. The VTK tests, they're about 76% coverage. With good testing, I like to put this in here, global changes are much easier to make. So in VTK, I went through at some point and added an object factory into every object so that you could dynamically load a VTK object and override any object in VTK dynamically with a shared library. And I put this mechanism in and essentially touched every class in VTK, and I was able to know, you know, the next day by looking at the dashboard that I was still, VTK still worked, at least the 76% of it that was covered, still worked on all of our supported platforms. Testing with CMake, it's pretty easy. You say enable testing up at the top of your project, and then you have add test. You give it a test name, an executable name, and then the arguments that you pass to it. CTest is an executable that's distributed with CMake, and it can be used to run the test in a project. And then I'll get into something that's kind of exciting. We've got a new project out called C-Dash, which is follow-on work to what we used to call our Dart dashboards. And these are HTML dashboards that show the results of tests dynamically and every night. So for C-Test, you go into your binary directory, and you run C-Test, and it would run all the tests that you've done with add test. Or you can type make test, or in one of the IDEs, you can right-click on it. It'll create a run test target. The minus R option, you can give it a regular expression to choose a test. You can exclude a test. You can specify which configuration it is, debug or release. Inside make, you can say make test. And you can do ctest minus minus help for more information. So this is a dashboard for a CMake I grabbed the other day. This is our new C-Dash. And essentially down this side, we've got nightly expected builds. And it's got the sites listed here. And these are build names, so if I stand back, so this is a Linux 64 is the first one, and then there's a Darwin, and then a Linux 64 with GCC 3.2.2 instead of the Intel compiler, and then a Mac OS X Xcode build. And it essentially, this column shows when we ran the configure step, were there any errors and what happened. You can look and see which files were updated. You can see passed and failed. If you click on that failed, it'll drill down and show you the output of the test. And that gives us this, what we call our software process, which after using it, I find it hard to work on any project without it. The idea is that the developer writes his code, checks it into the reversion control system, and then there are machines sitting out there just waiting to build it. And they either continuously, they'll sniff that something's changed in the system, build it, and send it over to the dashboard. And I've actually done some interesting things with here, like when there's a new operating system that someone wants me to port CMake to, you know, they'll come to list and say, there's a guy that said, you know, does CMake work on QNX? I said, well, no, not right now, but I'll help you do it if you promise to submit a dashboard. because otherwise I'm wasting my time, because I'm going to break your stuff 6 months from now. I'll add your support, and then I'll break it, because I won't know, I won't have that system to try it on. So there's a guy down in Australia that's using CMake with QNX. He's got a continuous build running, and the turnaround time, I guess it's a pretty fast machine, it takes him about 5 minutes to build CMake and run its test suite. And I've actually debugged the QNX parts of CMake iteratively, you know, over like an hour, where I, you know, make a little change, you know, wait for the dashboard, come up, oh, okay. And you see the error messages, which are somewhat helpful, and I've actually been able to get to be able to debug that way. Okay, so this is a bad dashboard. If you have that, and you live and you're near me, you'll get one of these on your desk. So it's a bad dashboard because it's got a bunch of errors, and the red means bad. The C-Dash client has the concept of experimental, nightly, coverage testing, and image differences. So in VTK, this was real important. So you can see, like, over on the left was the expected image. That's the one we got, and this is the difference. And that shows up in the dashboard. Interesting thing we found out about that was all graphics cards and graphics drivers are not created equal with OpenGL. So we allow for having multiple correct images. And early on, they were really bad, but VTK is actually, I don't know, there was some guy from ATI, I'd love to talk to him, because VTK would be a great test suite for anybody's graphics drivers. We really pound OpenGL and do a lot of testing, and we've got this great test suite. Okay, so now, against my better judgment, I'm going to try to do a live demo of C-Dash. So I'm logged in as administrator on my C-Dash. I'm going to create a new project, and we'll call it test demo. We'll make it a public dashboard. We'll create the project. And now I'll download the configuration file. We'll drop it into Emacs. And then we'll write it into step 7, ctest config.cmake. You can see that's there, and then we'll go to step 7 here, and we'll say make experimental. I can spell it right. And it's doing a build. It did the tests. Then we can go back over here. Back. And here's our test demo. Oh, and it didn't submit. See, never do a live demo. Earlier today I did it. See? All right. Trust me, it works. Experimental would do no CVS update, just does a build, sends it to the dashboard. A nightly, the concept here is that your project has some specific time that you put in a configuration file, say 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and then when any client wants to build a nightly, it will get the exact copy of your software from that point in time. And the idea is to be able to have like a release every day. It supports Purify, Valgrind, and Bounds Checker for memory checking. You can do coverage with either GCC or Bullseye is a commercial coverage tool that's cross-platform. Another interesting thing is getting coverage. I mean, CMake, we do most of our builds with spaces in the paths, network paths, different drive letters, things like that. VTK, different CMake releases, current CMake, OpenGL versus Mesa. And we also have a packaging utility called CPAC. It can generate tar-gz, self-extracting tar files. The Nullsoft scriptable install system on Windows and Package Maker on the Mac. Using it's pretty easy. Basically, you get your install rules to work with the install command, and then you include CPAC. That's about it. You can set some variables and get more complicated stuff if you want, but basic stuff's pretty easy to get running quick. For more information on CPAC, you can look at the book or the wiki. We'll skip this. Another tool we have is KW Style, which does code style checking. It parses the source code, looks for those red ones are length errors. Like you'd say, in my project, I only want lines to be less than 80 characters. You can get information here. I'll put this online. Summary, CMake can build cross-platform. Actually, when I first brought my computer up here, they said you should plug it in with the thing up so they don't know you're running Windows. But I haven't gotten any boos or jeers. But I mean, I think to me, I mean, I'm mostly a researcher. I do visualization, computer vision, and I want that stuff to work wherever it needs to work. And I think that if we can get the applications to be cross-platform and to work everywhere. And I think that's one step to making the operating system a commodity, where they're interchangeable. If all the applications work on every operating system, then what difference does it make what operating system you're running? So we can also test with Ctest, Cdash, KW Style. We can deploy with CPAC. There's some links. And then there's my email at the bottom, and I can take questions now.
But one particular thing I noticed was you have find package, and you said it gets info on packages, but I don't know exactly how you define a package. Do you integrate with things like package config, or is this a...
Okay, so the find package is, there is package config support. There's a module to use package config, so if someone's already got that. The find package command in CMake is actually sort of CMake's version of package config. Essentially have a CMake config file that describes the project and the build settings, much like you would with package config, except it's going to work on Windows. It's going to be installed with CMake, so it sort of brings the tool along. But we do have package config support. There's a module that you can run package config and find stuff that way.
Okay. There's another question.
About options with CMake, how can you make a configure switch, CMake switch that look like configure switch? For example, enable options or something like that.
I'm having trouble hearing.
My question is, how can you make with CMake an options like configure?
Sorry. It's the sound.
What is a configure switch to give options to configure?
Okay, so he's asking how can you do something like configure switches? Like in configure you have switches to change the behavior and the checks. Can you do that?
Configure scripts? Configure... I'm sorry.
I think he's looking for the option directive that you can switch on or off, and you can switch each option on the CMake command line with -d option.
So you want like a command line thing, like minus minus prefix sort of stuff?
Yes, command line.
Yeah, so we don't have that right now. I mean, you can do CMake minus -d variable equals something is how you would do it in CMake. There's no actual support for parsing the command line, but you can set variables from the command line. And you can use the GUI editors. But that might be something we've talked about, and the logistics of it are still a little bit difficult to work into the process. There's someone up there.
Okay, it is all the way up there.
I
Yes, hello. I have a question about the testing dashboard. So right now it's pretty easy to make go-no-go tests, but would it be possible to do something like performance testing, where you can run a test, time it, and check if it still runs as fast as before the changes you made?
Yes. Test timing, there's actually a graphing package. We're using like an Ajax thing to show a graph of a test over time. And actually, interestingly enough, we got C-Dash recently doing VTK. And one of the VTK developers, Bill Lorenzen, noticed that in January, he looked at the graph. He said, someone checked something in that made so this clip function run about 3 times slower. And one of the features we're going to add, it's right on the top of the list, is to automatically detect that problem. So CMake actually does, when CTests run, it sends the time it took to run a test to the server. And it's all stored in a MySQL database. So we can add, you know, any queries we wanted. But yeah, sure. That's something that we want to do.
Yeah, so I have two questions. The first one is on support of scripting languages in CMake instead of the built-in language. And because there have been some discussions on whether to use Lua or whatever on as a scripting language for CMake files. And the second question is on cross-compiling support. We've been using CMake successfully on Unix and Windows. But the fact that CMake automatically adds some extension on the generated files makes it difficult to cross-compile from Unix to Windows. So what's the roadmap for this, if you have any?
What was the first question?
The first one is on a scripting language, because there's been some talks on using Lua as a scripting language.
Okay, the scripting
instead
language.
Of the proprietary one not used in CMake right now.
So the scripting language, like there's some talk on the CMake list about looking at Lua and things like that. Is that? Yeah, we're looking at it. I don't know where we'll go with it. I'm not inclined to jump on it, but you know, the CMake language is going to be around forever. I mean, we've got to support it for backwards compatibility. We're not going to, you know, screw the users. And to your second question was about cross-compiling. Yeah, CMake 2.6, when it comes out, will have cross-compiling support. Alex Nurendorf came to Kitware for about 6 months this summer and added support. So CVS CMake, and there's actually a how-to on the wiki on how to do cross-compiling. We've cross-compiled the big projects he worked on. He cross-compiled ParaView onto a BlueJeans supercomputer. Sort of interesting, these supercomputers are more like embedded devices. You know, each node is almost an embedded device, but it's very similar to cross-compiling anything else. And you've done, I think you did like full tick onto from Linux onto Windows. So yeah, there's good support for cross-compiling. On the way, it's in CVS now, and 2.6 probably would have been out this week, except that I came to this conference.
Okay, so maybe one last question, and then we're out of time, I think. I see one there.
Hello. Short question about the C-test. How does C-test figure out if a test succeeded or not? Just a small detail that I'm curious about. So if I have some particular unit test framework that I run, how do I tell CMake, how do I configure, I want this thing in the output to be a failure?
Okay. So I think the question was, how do you tell C-test whether a test passes or fails? By default, it will just look at the return value, 0 or 1, standard pass or fail. But you can also set a test property. There's set test property. And you can set expected output. And you can have it look for strings.
OK, so I think we're out of time. I think Bill will be here. Let's thank our speaker. Thank you, Bill.